The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
You're very welcome back to The Hard Shoulder. Kieran Cudahy with you until 7 o'clock. Now, we spoke yesterday on the programme about the decision by the High Court to not allow planning permission for a supervised injection centre in Merchants Quay. That planning permission had been appealed and the High Court held in favour of the appellants. We spoke on the show yesterday to the long-time campaigner on this issue, Stuart Clark, the deputy editor of Hot Press. Take a listen to him.
I'm gutted. You know, people will die because of today's decision. And once again, we've got health services being dictated by emotion and fear rather than science and evidence. We just can't look at other countries and see best practice and bring it home. I don't understand why.
Yeah, that was Stuart Clark speaking on the show. Yes, a huge amount of people got in touch about it, including Michael, who has now joined me on the line. Michael, am I right in thinking you have direct experience of the drug problem in Ireland? You were a drug user. You've been clean for a year now. Is that right?
Yeah, the end of the month, I'll be coming up a year clean, yeah.
All right, well, listen, congratulations in advance. Before we talk about the need for this type of intervention, I wonder, Michael, could you maybe just tell us about your own situation?
I would have been heavily involved in the chemsex scene in the gay world, obviously. And, it came to a head this time last year. I just, as addiction goes, you couldn't stop using. And my boss just sat me down one day because I turned in late, missing days. I was in really bad shape, and he just asked me what was wrong and wasn't taking no for an answer. And I made it, and they stuck out the hand and have helped me into treatment and aftercare and everything like that, paid for everything for me. And only for that, to be quite honest, I'd be dead now.
What types of drugs would you have been using?
Everything. But the main drug would have been crystal meth. It's a big drug in the gay world here in Ireland. But I used everything. As we say in my fellowship, I'd suffer from a disease of more, and it was just more of everything.
And had I been speaking to you, Michael, maybe not a year ago now exactly when things were coming to a head, but when there was quite obviously maybe a problem to other people in your life, but not you, what would you have said if I'd asked if had you a drug problem?
I'd have told him to go away quite unpolitely, is what I would have told him. It happened. For the 6 months before that, they were coming up and asking me, and my tolerance was very low, and I would tell people to F away would be the polite way of putting it. But yeah, that was what happened. And I'm very lucky that they stuck by it. They were nearly going to sack me, but they stuck there and helped, you know.
And listen, you're lucky. Not everyone maybe gets that same level of support. Would you have been using it on a daily basis?
At the end, yeah. Every addict, from what I've learned in the past year, it starts off that people think they can control it, and I'll only use it on a Saturday night, and then I'll only use it on a Friday and a Saturday night. And then by the end, I wasn't using it on a Wednesday night. That was the only night, you know, and you're just not sleeping. I was either working or using, or even sometimes both. You just can't stop. That's what addiction is about. The first part you learn is that you're totally can't control it. You can't control your addiction. You're completely powerless to it.
And I just wonder, like, I mean, mentally, was it all-consuming? Like, when you were in work or when you were doing other things that you weren't using?
All the time. It's complete obsession about it. That's all you're thinking about.
Right.
And it can't go out of your head. Like, people say, oh, you choose. It isn't a choice. You're an addict. You've no choice about it. That's the point. You are totally powerless. And everything, especially, I suppose, one of the biggest things I learned about myself in treatment was how many things, my core value, that I just left in the rearview mirror. Stuff you said you'd never do, and you'd done it. But that's the powerlessness. That's the powerlessness of addiction. You just can't stop.
Like, when you talk about stuff you never, I mean, it just drove you to new lows, was it?
Unbelievable lows, Kieran. There's stuff that I said I would never do. I was married before, and I said I wouldn't use when I was with the kids. I said I wouldn't miss time with them. Everything, work, said I wouldn't miss work. I missed work. I came in high, and I shouldn't have come in. And I drive a very big digger. I work in construction, and I was trying to convince him, yeah, I'm grand, not a bother me. You know, stuff said I'd never use and drive the car. You know, so stuff. Just there's just so many things I said I'd never do, and I done.
What did you make of this decision or this knockback to the plan for a supervised injection centre?
Look, I can understand the way the locals say, oh, they don't want to hear. The thing is that it's the stigma around it, the guilt and the shame that people are put in. Look, if you think that's going to stop addicts, it's not. That's going to make them worse. You know, the biggest part of what I've had to combat over the last year is working through all the guilt and shame I have for so many different things and putting more on them and making people use what they're down back alleyways and something like that. That ain't going to help them in any way. You know, I agree totally what you played there, but you were saying like this, you know, we can't even look what other countries are doing. And it works. It works in other countries. If you keep putting people feeling guilt, shame, and the big stigma around it, it's going to make people less likely to look for help, to be able to reach out. Because you feel less than. That's the biggest thing about it. You feel less than, you feel worthless, and you feel that no one wants you and no one's going to help. And by knocking back stuff like this, it just makes people feel worse.
Well, listen, Michael, we appreciate you speaking to us today. We appreciate you getting in touch as well with the show yesterday. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Karen.
Yeah, Michael got in touch on 53106. That's the number, 1894-53106 as well. The number for your call. Stay with us. We'll get the latest news headlines now.